Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Let's quieten down and prepare our hearts for worship. This is the order of worship for the service this morning. Kindly note that we will be partaking Holy Communion today. So, and if you have not taken the elements, please do so at the table behind, or Paul will pass it to you. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us here safely, that we can gather once again for a time of worship and fellowship this morning. So we pray that as we sing praises and listen to your words, help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. May your spirit speak to our hearts, renew our minds, and transform us from inside out to live out your calling for us. May you anoint the lips of Pastor Leon as he preaches the sermon today. And we pray that we all not just be hearers of the words, but to be obedient doers of your word, Lord. May your Holy Spirit empower us to live out. We commit this time in your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before there was a time, before there was a world, there was God. Let's center our hearts on the words of Psalm 90, verse 1 to 2. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Let's begin by giving glory to God, who has done great things. From the dawn of creation to the redemption of our souls. Praise the Lord for his perfect redemption, the purchase of blood to every believer, the promise of God. Let's stand to sing our opening songs. To God be the glory.
To God.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
because God created us in His image, we belong to Him. We are His chosen family, as 1 Peter 2:9 says. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possessions. We are God's people, the chosen of the Lord, born of His Spirit, established by His word. Our cornerstone shall be Christ alone, and strong in Him we stand. Let's sing our next song, We Are God's People.
We are God's people, the chosen.
To sing these next songs in preparation for the Holy Communion, let's take a moment to remember what Jesus' sacrifice means for each one of us. The image of a fountain filled with cleansing blood reminds us that no matter how deep our sins runs, God's mercy runs deeper. His grace doesn't just cover it, but completely wash us clean. Let's sing His power to save. This is a fountain.
There is a fountain filled with blood from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners plunged beneath their flood, whose all their guilt is there. precious blood shall never lose its bond, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more, be saved to sin no more.
Let's not rush through the words for the next songs, but to also to continue reflect upon God's grace and mercy that broke our chains, opened our eyes, and set us free from the bondage of sin. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is the power that now lives in us. And can it be? Pastor, to lead us in the time of Holy Communion.
Thanks, Brother Paul. Today, this Sunday, is a very special communion that we celebrate with one another. It's visually very special because we see the sea of blue shirts, one another. But also today, after we've gone through, you know, our series of looking at the kind of culture, the kind of values that we want to embody as a church together as one, and later today, after the communion, we are going to recite our church covenant once again, you know, with significance and meaning about what it means to be a church together. That yes, we're saying to God, we want to embody these values that you would like us to embody for your glory. So today is a very special time as we renew the covenant in the Lord's Supper. Then we want to renew our church covenant vows after this, and then also dedicate our ministry leaders. So church, as we come to the Lord's Supper today, you have your elements. I ask you to hold off first. We will open, I'll give you time to open the plastic for the bread together, and then later on the cup together as well. You know, in the olden days, we used to tear off from the same piece of bread, like a sharing from that same body. Today, now we have these like convenient emblems that we hold in our hands. I'll ask us to open only at the same time, not only to minimize the noise, but I think it's also to share again in some sense of us, you know, tearing off that piece again together as one. So let us do that. As we prepare ourselves, I'd like to read from 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16 and 17, which tells us, it says, "It's not the cup of blessing which we bless, a sharing in the blood of Christ. It's not the bread which we break, a sharing in the body of Christ. Since there is one bread, we who are many also are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." And so church, as we enter a new year, a new season, a new thing which the Lord is doing in our church, you know, let's forget all the external circumstances. You know, this is the one body that God has called us to, that Christ loves and he gave his life for. And so today, as we come to renew our covenant vows to the Lord in the supper, and later as we renew our covenant vows together as a church, the Lord's Supper reminds us that these things are inseparably connected. It's not just a ritual that we do, but we solemnly recognize the shared reality that we have, that Christ's blood purchased the one church, and every member washed and forgiven by Christ, that we are all sharing in Christ's body. We share together in this one life, in this one spirit. So the Lord's Supper reminds us to discern the body rightly, honoring Christ's body by honoring one another as members of that one body and members of one another. You know, God took it so seriously that in Corinth, some people were falling sick and were even dying, because they failed to discern rightly the body. And so, church, as we prepare to commit ourselves anew to Christ and to his church, when we renew our covenant pledge later, right now as we go to the Lord in the supper, let us examine ourselves first. Take a moment to examine if we have discerned the body rightly. And if not, then let us prepare ourselves. We ask for his forgiveness, his restoration, his renewal of our hearts and our minds and our spirits. I'll give you a moment for personal reflection and examination. Let us pray together. Almighty Lord, we confess our weakness and our lack. We need your life, we need your light, and we need your love, Lord. You've called us to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you call us to love your church. You call us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And Lord, we confess that at times we have been slow, we have been forgetful, we have been weak, we have been careless, we have been indifferent in our words, in our thoughts, in our deeds. Lord, we ask that you forgive us once again of our sins and our failures to obey your calling. Lord, we ask that you restore in us a heart that is sensitive to your Spirit's call, that is soft to our fellow brothers and sisters, and Lord, that you quicken our spirits with zeal to do your holy will. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, God has said that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Now let's open the bread together and just hold on until everyone is ready. And with thanksgiving, let us partake the bread together. And then let us open the cup together and we wait for everyone to be ready before we partake. And let's take the cup together. Thank you, Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for the body and the blood that has bought us, and you have built us into one body, and you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. But Lord, just as you did when you first blessed and you broke the bread at the table with your disciples at Emmaus, Lord, you open our eyes to see Christ, alive and moving in our midst, Lord, who is at work in our body. In every blessing that you have blessed us with in this house, may you open our eyes to see, Lord. May open our eyes to see every blessing in every member of the body that you've blessed us with. And Lord, cause our hearts to burn with a passion for your word and for your will. And grow us for your glory, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So now, church, as we've renewed our covenant with God in the Lord's Supper, it's fitting also that we renew our covenant and our covenant vows as his body. And so now we go to the church covenant pledge. The church covenant is a commitment that we make first and foremost. It's a commitment to God and to Christ as the head of this church. And in this covenant agreement, you know, we are promising to one another, we are promising to God first, to Christ our head, and then to one another, we are promising to him to honor, to love, and to serve the body that Christ himself laid down his life for. And under this commitment that we make to God and to Christ, we also pledge to commit to one another in this body. So, church, I invite us now, let us sincerely and prayerfully recite our church covenant together, affirming our commitment to one another, our responsibility to one another, and to God as well. So can we have the church covenant up? So the covenant is written as a prayer to God. So we are making our commitment first to God and then to one another as well. So let us do it sincerely and prayerfully as well. Church, let us read. Okay, I'll give a moment for everyone to be ready together. Okay, so everyone has a copy of it, or we can share one another. Ready? Okay, then church, I invite us, let us read together our church covenant. Having received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and been baptized, I now solemnly pledge together with my fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord to deliberately do the following: to love the Lord foremost and to seek his kingdom and righteousness above all others and all else. to love one another and protect the unity of the church, to uphold and carry out the vision of the church so that we may be a God-loving and caring community of disciples who worship, witness, pray, and are grounded on the Bible for God's glory until our Lord Jesus Christ returns. To offer my gifts, time, and talents for the ministry and edification of the church. To make disciples of all nations and support the work of evangelism and missions. And to defend our statement of faith. We acknowledge that we can do these only by God's grace and through the power of the Holy Spirit. So in Jesus' name, I ask God for more grace and strength to fulfill this pledge. Amen. Amen. Church, now we go on to our ministry leaders' dedication for this year. I invite the ministry leaders to come up and stand in the front in one row, and we were going to pray for our leaders. So every ministry leader, just stand in one row. And the church, I would just want to say that I'm really very proud of this team of ministry leaders that we have in this church. You know, they are not miracle workers, but they have stepped up, I think, in a time when the church needs it. And so I'm very proud of them. Some remarks that I want to make, because we want to, as a church, we want to set a tone for this new season. And I ask the church, all of us, in the same body, don't look at the circumstances on the surface. You know, anybody can do that. The world can do that. But let us look here and see the blessings that we've been given in this church, that God has still preserved here men and women who can be counted faithful. And so church, you know, they need your support and they need your prayers. And that's what it means when we say that the people who serve, being faithful is what matters the most. You know, I hope that you'll hear me, church. I'm not singling out anyone. You know, I'm saying this, I say this to myself as well. You just want to set the culture of our church going forward. You know, we cannot say that, oh, it's about being faithful, it's about faithfulness, and then, you know, we live like, no, actually it's about performance, it's about perfection, and add a whole list of unspoken qualifications, competencies and expectations. You know, church, I say this to myself as well. Ask us all as one body to support your leaders, to pray for them, to even speak into their lives so that just as these men and women have stepped up in faithfulness, that they will not lose heart in keeping faithful and that they will grow and develop in their faith. If they are built up, then the church is built up as well. And likewise, it goes both ways. What I say to all, you know, I say to myself included, that if I expect our leaders, you know, you can hold me accountable, if I expect our leaders to develop into a certain standard, then it is my duty, the buck stops here, my duty to my fellow part of the body to help them to develop faithfully as well. And so if we confess, you know, that Praise is a congregational church, let us not practice selectively congregational. When it comes time to say, or to say about others, then, oh, I'm congregational. When it comes time to pray for others, then, oh no, it's us versus them. Pray and support your leaders. When we pray for the leaders of the church, you know, our congregation, we are praying for ourselves, we are praying for the church, we are praying for our brothers and sisters, and we are praying also for all who have yet to come to know Christ, who will come to know Christ through our ministry as well as leaders and as a church. So there's a lot at stake, church. So I ask that we really need to unite and to pray and to support one another, because we're not looking for short-term solutions. We're looking to build a culture for generations and generations. So we need your continued prayers and support for this long-term work. Let us pray together. Father, I thank you for each and every ministry leader here today that has answered your call to serve with faithful, willing, open hearts for the Master's use. Lord, you are our chief shepherd, and I ask that you give them hearts of compassion just like yours, sensitive to your prompting. May you grow them in wisdom as they continue to serve and to lead. May you guard them from all temptation, from pride, from fear, from any weariness, as they stand in the gap for your purpose and for your people, Lord. I ask that you fill them with the joy of knowing you constantly and on relying on you in their service, that it will overflow as a witness and an example to those around them of the goodness of God. Father, I ask that you keep our hearts as a team close and united as one, like pieces of firewood together, Lord, that we would keep each other fervent and on fire. And that together, Lord, we will be so focused on fulfilling the task that you've entrusted to us as a church for your glory and for your name's sake. We ask and we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, leaders. You may be seated.
The sermon today is entitled, In the Beginning, God. The scripture is taken from Genesis chapter 1 to 3. May I invite Sister Chloe to come on to the pulpit for scripture reading. Thanks.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Verse 26. Then God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. And this is the word.
Thank you very much, Chloe. And thank you very much, worship team, for the wonderful worship. We should ban Paul from wearing t-shirts. I think he's getting bigger. I think ever since he became chairman, he's bulked up or something. Growing bigger, growing in stature. So I'm very excited that we are beginning a new series in Genesis. You know, Genesis is the book that you begin your yearly Bible plans and then you drop out halfway. But with help from one another, we are going to complete this book this year. Sometime in November. So as we begin our new series in Genesis, exciting, like just from the first opening of the book, the verses, it's like you can see this story, this wonderful story that is playing out. Really excited to get into it. Again, as usual, when we start a new book series to help you get a quick grasp of what the book is about, I want to give you, as usual, the main theme of the book, which is the subject, what the book is about, the main approach, which is the characteristics of the book, how it answers the question, how should I read the book? And then the main idea, which is that big takeaway, why is it important for me to read this book? What is the message that it wants to bring across? We'll cover this briefly for the sake of time this week, and then we'll revisit it more a bit next week. But just enough to get a grasp, as usual. It always starts, I'm trying to start with the same letter as the letter of the book. So Genesis starts with G. The main theme, what is this book about? It's about grounding. It's about foundations. It's revisiting the foundational worldview of the Christian, that life has meaning, has purpose, that we are not all alone in the universe. And then in the end, there is nothingness, because this grounding, this foundation, that it all begins with God. Very important, very unique in this world. And then the main approach is that, how should I read it? What's the characteristics of this book? The main feature of this book is that it's an account that was written and organized by Moses. It's an account of the origins of God's people. So because it's an account that is written and organized by Moses, this means that it's not a neutral recording of history and a science lesson. That's not how we read the book and we approach it. You know, we come to it as an inspired account written for a spiritual purpose, not scientific, not historical. I mean, it's history, but it doesn't go into the details. It was written to remind God's people of their origin, of why they were created, how they were created, and then how then are they supposed to live as God's people. And then the main idea, why is it so important, the big takeaway, what does God want me to know and what difference does it make for my life? This is it. It's that God spoke, that God is the ultimate reality, the source of everything, the ultimate authority in life. God spoke and everything came to be, and not just talking about natural creation came to be, but new creation as well. It starts right in Genesis. Eternal life of knowing him and his word, it all begins there. When God spoke, then he spoke to man. He created out of nothing this new creation. Once we were not a people, now we are a people of God. Because God spoke, Adam to Abraham, to Noah, to Jacob, and then to Joseph. And he established the relationship, and it was really interesting. You know, the song that we sang, "We Are God's People," and there's a line there, you know, he established us as his people through his word that he spoke. So it starts right here in Genesis, and that means that if we ignore God and we ignore his word that he spoke, then everything else in life, we start off on the wrong track. Everything else is broken. So we need to trust and obey him at his word. And when we do that, then there is restoration of God's perfection. There is right relationship. So we'll go over these things more next week, but to give you a grasp of what Genesis is about whenever you read. And before we go on, just some ground rules. Because our time is limited, our scope also will be limited in this series, you know. So I want to make clear that this is not an exhaustive academic study. We will not be delving into some of the controversies, some of the speculations that, you know, usually people go to in Genesis. So let me define the scope of our focus as a church together. It's about transformation. So I want to stress this again. Listen to me, members, leaders, everyone at Praise. Our shared focus together as one church is transformation. You know, together, we want to grow in this series to become more and more into the image of Christ, the church of Christ as a family, an army, and a refuge. And so, you know, our time together is limited. You know, already 1 month has passed in the year. How fast is that? And so we want to make the most out of our time together to build up one another in the essentials. And that's what we'll be touching on. So in this new season, you know, we want to set a good culture. We want to set the principles. And the principle is this for this series. Firstly, from Deuteronomy 29:29, it says that the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed to us in his word belong to us and to our children forever. So that what? So that we may do all the words of this law. And so then the aim is transformation, that we'll grow more in the image of Christ, be more obedient, to live out more of what Christ wants us to do. Not about speculation. The other principle is from 2 Peter 1 verse 3. The NLT reads as such, that God has given us everything we need for what? For living a godly life. So he's not given us his word for satisfying our own curiosity, but everything for transforming us to live godly lives for his glory, to become salt and light as we want to this year. So it's not that I'm not saying that you cannot explore or study on your own time. I'm also not necessarily banning these kind of discussions that happen in our PCF groups. But because, you know, even as a PCF, we have limited time together as a church, then we need to prioritize the essentials. So church, don't take this direction as a negative, you know, actually take it as a strong positive. You know, every time that we say no to something, we're actually saying yes to something else. And so the yes in the time that we have, the limited time together, is that we want to be transformed. We want to grow more and more like Christ, like salt and light. And so that we come to the end of the year, you know, actually, which will be November, actually, you know, before people go away on holidays. So, you know, actually we have 10 months left, that hopefully we come to the end of the year and we can say that, yes, you know, we saw some transformation in our lives and one another as well. So let us get our grounding right as we begin this series, and may the Lord find us faithful. Let us go to God in prayer first. Father, we give you thanks for your word, Lord. We give you thanks for your word from Genesis that's written to us and has inspired account for our sakes, for our spiritual transformation, that we may live lives that are godly and bring glory to you. And so, Lord, as we go into your word to hear what you have to say to us, for you have spoken, you've spoken, and everything was, Lord, we want to come back to the source, we want to come back to the authority. May you guide us by your Spirit, and may you create in us and recreate in us a new heart, a new spirit, a new mind this year. Transformation, that we would bring glory to you. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to begin by telling you guys, not an actual depiction, there's this terrible ad. When we watch YouTube, there's always, you know, these ads that play before the videos, and there's this terrible ad that's going around nowadays. I'm not going to play it, so just a picture, for example, because it's a terrible, terrible ad. Some of you might know it, you might be familiar with it. Let me describe it to you. It's this shirtless, muscle-bound, bald Asian guy that's standing on a stage with a microphone. You know, he's supposedly in front of a full theater addressing them. And then he says dramatically, running hurts, Tai Chi heals. You know, that's a terrible. And then after that, apparently the whole crowd that is sitting there in this full theater supposedly erupts in applause, like, whoa, the revelation of some ancient secret to health, longevity, and success. You know, but what you realize is that all these things were carefully crafted and choreographed to suggest something and to sell to viewers. And so there's one huge problem with this terrible ad. You know, actually, there's many huge problems, but then I'll give you the main one. And the main one is that this advertisement and this man and this crowd, it's all completely fake. It's all been AI generated. Has anyone seen this advertisement? Okay, maybe I'll watch more YouTube. It's all completely fake. You know, the man, the muscles, the confident presentation, the applauding full house. You know, it's all fake, presented as real. It's all been carefully chosen and crafted. You know, even his ethnicity, you know, he's presented as Chinese. It's all chosen to give you a sense of authority on the subject, Tai Chi. It's all designed and engineered to engender trust in order to sell you something. And this is just one of the many accounts that are out there. You know, one of the most famous accounts that's out there now is this AI-generated Chinese monk on Instagram, that he's spouting all these modern Western philosophy, self-help trends, actually. But it's crafted to look like this ancient Eastern healing secrets from this, you know, authority figure. Completely fake. And this fake profile has actually gained 2.5 million followers in 3 months. It was just opened in October last year. And the main goal of this fake account is to upsell a fake online course, a very hokey online course, and some ebooks. And at the moment, if you see, at a $50 subscription per month for the course, and he has over 2,000 subscribers, so that this account is estimated to make more than $100,000 a month from his course alone. And it's all hooky. The point is that in our world today, you know, what whatever that we once could take for granted as real and as true are constantly being challenged today. And yes, you know, it's obvious that there are still people that are desperate more than ever to try to find what is real. Real meaning, real hope, a real solution to fix the brokenness and to try to restore the unwellness that is in their life. But how can people know today what is real and what is true? And so when we come to the book of Genesis, Genesis right off the bat makes a powerful, powerful declaration. It's that in the beginning, God. If ever there was a more powerful statement of authority, here it is, you know, that it's just barely a few words into the Bible, barely a few words into the book. It's not even a sentence that has come to a close yet. And the line has already been drawn. There is now no more uncertainty. There's no ambivalence. There's no debate. There's no maybe this, maybe that. There is no more neutral. But right there, page one, first sentence, in the beginning, before the origin of everything, there was God. Only one was there before it all. One saw it all. God. God is the subject of the very first sentence of the Bible. God is the main subject of this whole chapter. His name appears more times than there are verses in chapter one. Because it's telling us that the whole story of creation is God's story. And Genesis, as we read it, firstly, is his story, which means all of life, all of creation as we see it today, even many years later, it's his story, all of history is his story. And so on page one already, the reader is confronted. The reader has to make a choice. In the beginning, is it God? Or is it not? And this is the question. This is the choice that actually is still happening on a daily basis all around the world today to everyone. And it's creeping into the church as well. And more are choosing to answer this question in the beginning with something else. And this is the question and this is the choice that we still have to make. When we say, I have decided to follow Jesus. This is the question that actually we are answering. And this is what it means to proclaim when we say, choose now this day, who will you serve? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, we are saying in the beginning, it was God. And this is what it means to confess when we say we are saved and I am now a new creation. It means that I'm leaving behind this whole old world, the world of unbelief and of no God. And I'm stepping into the reality of a new world, a new and other world. A world where the reality is that in the beginning, God. Genesis is the invitation into this new world and into this new life. And the God of that reality and all of his promises and to enter into that relationship that he provides in this reality. So brothers and sisters, are you ready for this journey? Are you ready to step into this world? Because if you think about it, even, you know, we talk about our vision this year, we want to be salt and light. The beginning of being salt and light, especially in this moment right now, when everybody is questioning and challenging everything, what is real and what is true. Right now in this world, the dominant narrative is, in the postmodern age, it's the beginning of salt and light. Salt and light is going back to the Bible, going back to this reality and proclaiming, no, the Bible says, in the beginning, God. So let's gear up for this journey. And so from Genesis chapter 1, right off the bat, I want to highlight for us three foundational truths about God that we need to rediscover, we need to trust it fully, and we need to obey. To trust means simply to believe, and to obey means to proclaim. We need to proclaim these truths more than ever in this world today. If you want to show people what is real, what is true hope. Three foundational truths about God. The first foundational truth from Genesis chapter 1 is that God is all powerful. So verse 1 tells us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So it means that God is the one who created all things in creation. He is the ultimate reality, the ultimate authority. Without him, there would be no reality at all. Let's pause and consider the power and the awesomeness of God, you know, which is really beyond all imagination. This is Michael Denton, a scientist who wrote a book, Evolution, a Theory in Crisis, challenging the theory of evolution. And even though this Dr. Michael Denton is not a believer, you know, he's a skeptic, he says he doesn't believe in the existence of God, but yet he cannot deny from his book, from his study. Michael Denton is one of the leading advocates for intelligent design, that he recognizes that there is something, it's not evolution, there is a designer. And in his book, he actually concludes that even the complexity of even one single, the simplest human cell is so great that it's impossible to accept that creation happened by accident. That it would be, he says, it would have to be some sort of miracle if it did. A skeptic saying this. And then Denton goes into great detail, you know, but for the sake of time, he really goes into like poetic details. But for the sake of time, in short, Michael Denton describes how even a single cell is pictured here, is more busy and more technologically advanced than a great city like London or New York. And there are like always numerous machines that are complex and operating in such a highly ordered, purposeful fashion, with so many processes going on at once perfectly, that Michael Denton can't help but confess that, you know, even with all our present technological advances, even to try to recreate one single functioning complex molecule that exists in a cell such as this, he says it would be beyond our current capacity to try to recreate. And yet, all of this, millions and millions of cells God created in a day, and he intricately knit us and formed us part by part. Or if we zoom out and we consider the stars in the sky, you know, maybe we can't see cells, but we can see the stars, you know, things that perhaps we might get a better grasp on, you know, these huge balls of gas up. Maybe you can understand them a bit better. Well, scientists estimate that if a computer could count 10 million stars in 1 second, it would still take 63 million years to count all the stars in the universe. Just to count, not even to create. And yet, God spoke, and it all came to be. And that's just a fraction of all of creation, stars. And even though the evidence of this creator is all around, that even the skeptics can't deny, and all of this evidence is constantly proclaiming the praise of the work of his hands, and even though, you know, as humans, we've barely scratched the surface of understanding all of God's creation, yet man is still arrogantly today defiantly rejecting that there is a God. You know, if we think of Genesis as like the start of the owner's manual, the operator's manual, then, you know, of course, if we try to ignore the manual, you try to operate against the instructions that have been given, it will only lead us to trouble and to breakdown. And that's what we are seeing that's playing out in the world today. Every day, in all the spheres of life, in all the spheres of creation that Genesis talks about. In creation, we have natural disasters today because of man's poor stewardship, ignoring the operator's manual. We have catastrophic famine. We have the extinction of some of the species that God entrusted to man. Disregard the operator's manual. And then in humanity as well, whether it's on an individual level, we see relational conflicts every day, you know, at a societal level, we see greed and corruption and inequality and injustice. And then at a larger sphere as well, it's no different as well. Systemic level, governments are oppressing people, countries are going at war to one another. It's playing out today. We've ignored it all. And in the end, you know, no one, with all our advances, with all our knowledge, no one is closer to any real solution. Because man still continues to willfully ignore that in the beginning, God. So the first foundational truth we need to rediscover in order to discover real meaning in life is to recognize that there is a God and that God is God. But as amazing as God's creation of the world and people is, there's a lot more to it. And so the second foundational truth that we need to discover is that God is not only powerful, but God is personal. He calls us into relationship. And so throughout chapter 1, we see, and God said, and God said, and God said. And throughout Genesis, you will see God speaks. God speaks, and He creates this relationship. So God is a God who speaks, and His word brings us into relationship with Him. So Genesis is not about, you know, we think it's just about creation, it's just about the creation of people, or it's about the beginning of the world in general, history, science. No, but the most amazing thing is that it's about the creation of God's people, the beginning of a special relationship with God. This is actually the main bulk of the whole book of Genesis. You only have one chapter, chapter 1, on creation, you know, all these amazing scientific things that, you know, if we keep talking about them, we can never finish talking about them, we can never finish discovering them. And yet, it's all condensed in one chapter first. 6 days, one chapter. And then the other 49 chapters, thousands of centuries, the real story of creation unfolds, and that is the creation of a people of God for special relationship. So all of this scientific creation, you know, that we usually get caught up with and like, wow, wonderful, and we discuss all these speculations and controversies, all of that that we see in chapter 1, it's just a stage. It's a stage set for the main story to happen, which is that God creates out of nothing a chosen people, and He sets them apart for a special relationship with Him. So, you know, for those of you music fans, Elvis Presley was right when he sang, you know, someone said, all the world's a stage. And we see this very clearly, you know, from chapter 1. Chapter 1, the creation of this stage, this backdrop. And then chapter 2, as we read, begins with a clear break. That God then rested, you know, not because He was tired, but it means that He ceased from His work. He finished the work that He had done. He brought it to an end. He rested. And then He set apart the day to Himself. And then with that break, that stage is set. Then the greatest story ever unfolds. That once was uncreated is now created. The unknowable God speaks to man and calls us into a relationship that could have never existed before, except that God speaks. And He creates this. This is amazing grace. And so you see throughout the Genesis, even the divisions, the common divisions of the book are by this special relationship. So, you know, you would have like the relationship begins with Adam, then it develops with Abraham. There's a major development, then another major development with Jacob, and then another major development of the relationship with Joseph. And then we start to see more and more of like, oh, okay, what it means to be the people of God that God has created. And this is the divisions that actually we'll go through the book as well in each quarter of the year this year. The great novelist, Leo Tolstoy, who Encyclopedia Britannica called, he wrote one of the two or three greatest novels ever in world literature. Tolstoy, you know, sought to live a life of, you know, pleasure, as much pleasure as he could. And so he achieved money, he achieved success, he achieved fame, he achieved importance as one of the greatest living novelists of all time. But Tolstoy wrote about it in a book, Tolstoy's Confession, that he was left, even after achieving all these things in life, asking the question, well, fine, so what? And then so Tolstoy then sought the answer in science, in philosophy. He managed to marry a very loving wife. You know, he had a great family. But still, the search for meaning in life brought Tolstoy to such despair and to the verge of even suicide. But then, to cut the long story short, you know, eventually Tolstoy came to the breakthrough that he saw how even the poor peasants in life around him in Russia had such peace and serenity, even when they were approaching death. And so Tolstoy eventually discovered that it was their Christian faith that gave them hope and meaning. And so then he wrote this book, Confession. And with renewed hope, you know, Tolstoy then plunged himself again into God's word, and he finally found meaning, hope, and rest for his restless spirit. Brothers and sisters, you know, we were created for a relationship with God. Anything else will not fill that hole that we have. This is the most mind-blowing creation in all of Genesis, that once we were not a people, but suddenly God spoke, we came into existence. God called us to be his people. You know, because it's the most amazing thing, because with all of our science, you know, with all of our knowledge, we can at least sort of say that we can know some things. You know, with all of our resources today, we are, at least we can say we are able to sort of imitate God a little bit, you know, bad imitation, but yeah, we can take these things and we can sort of create things, be a little bit like God. But how do you create a relationship with the unknowable God, with the uncreated God? How does creation reach out to that uncreated one who transcends all creation? This is the only thing. This is the amazing thing. It's only if this God who transcends creation reaches down into creation, if he creates it, if he speaks, and he calls man into relationship. You know, brothers and sisters, even more amazing than that, this is the amazing thing today, that God still speaks today, and God still calls people into that same relationship with him through his word. And all those who hear and respond to his word, then behold, what happens? There is a new creation. God still creates today. He still speaks. He creates what no one else can create. And it's only done through his speaking, through his word. And brothers and sisters, this is the word that is in your hands all the time. You carry it around even all the time in your phones. We have it in our hands and our fingertips all the time. It's amazing. It's mind-blowing. So even more mind-blowing than this technology that we can hold so many things in our hands, you know, this should be the most amazing thing ever, that we can hold God's word, the same word that God spoke, and there was creation, there was life. Is the same word that we carry with us. Today, as we wear our blue shirts also, this is the same word that we carry with us up there. God speaks, and there can be life. So we actually hold the answers. All these questions that people are seeking out there, what is real? What is the real meaning of life? What is true? We actually hold them in our hands. So we got to start taking this seriously, brothers and sisters. You know, we got to be transformed by his word and we've got to live like as if this truth is there, that yes, we hold all these answers to life here. You know that God's word tells us about that relationship. God's word brings us into that relationship. God's word keeps us in that relationship, and God's word is able to grow us in that relationship. We've got to take this seriously. And it all starts right here. God spoke. God said. So this is the second foundational truth. The first foundational truth is recognizing that God is all-powerful. God is God. Second foundational truth to discovering what real meaning in life is that we realize that God spoke and God created us for relationship with Him. If we ignore this truth, we lose this truth, then everything else is out of order. If we ignore the relationship that we're supposed to have with God. And the third foundational truth about God is that God has promised good. So if you look at the account of creation, it tells us that God created, God spoke. But again and again and again, after God created and God spoke, it tells us God saw that it was good. What does this mean? It tells us that God is a God who is perfect, and we can trust Him. We can obey Him for whatever that is His intended best for us. So Genesis chapter 1 reminds us that everything that God created was good. It means that God's plan, God's purpose, God's will is perfect. Genesis chapter 1 tells us, therefore, that we can trust all His plans and all His purposes, that they are for our best, and that we can obey them. And Genesis chapter 1 also tells us that everything that God spoke and God said and God said and God said was good. That means that God's word is perfect. And so we can trust that all of His laws, all of His commands that He has spoken are for our best, and we can obey them for our good. So Genesis chapter 1 is a reminder that in the beginning there is a God. God has spoken, and we can trust, we can obey that His will and His word are all perfect, and it's all promised for our ultimate good. So church, you know, if you want to know the purpose of it all, look to God and look to His word. If you want to know guidance, what do? We look to God, we look to His word, His perfect word. If you want to know that impossible situation, you know, that impossible situation that is broken, that there is darkness, that there is chaos, how do I restore this situation? Look to God and look to His word. If you want to, for that person that you love, whether it's a family member, whether it's a friend, you want them to, you know that they are struggling, they are facing a hopeless challenge. Maybe they don't even know God. You want them to find life. You want them to find life more abundantly. Look to God and look to His word. And therefore, church, you know, as salt and light as well, even this afternoon, you know, we can go out with confidence to minister to people. We can go out to invite our friends to come to church, to come to know Jesus, even in the most impossible cases of great darkness, of where it was formless, where there was nothing, where there's just great darkness, there was a void, there was a hopeless situation. We can have confidence. Even in these situations, we can look to God and look to His word. We can have confidence with our friends, with our neighbors, you know, just showing them love. You know, we can know that with confidence that it is God, this God, as we speak God, we speak life, we speak His word. It is God alone who can recreate their hearts anew. Out of nothingness, out of darkness, out of the most impossible situations, God can speak and it can be new life. This is the God who out of nothing creates all things good. He speaks, it is done, and He says it is good. So church, let us look to Him in your homes, in your family, in your relationships, in your work, in your studies, in your purpose, in your calling, in your outreach, in your church, in your prayers, in everything, in every situation. Genesis is the invitation once again to rediscover, to step into that world again. So church, you know, I ask the question, would you step into this world today? Would you step into His word today? Would you say right now, you know, in every situation in my life, you know, you can personalize this. In the beginning, God, personalize it. In my beginning, God. No matter what the situation is, no matter the darkness, no matter how impossible it is, you can't see anything at all. How can this be? How can this impossible situation become something out of nothing? No, I'm going to say, I'm going to start, I'm going to step into this world. In my beginning, God first. If the situation says, you know, but other things, no, 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 no. I'm going to begin in my beginning with God. If the world says, but you know this, but that, no, 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 no. In my beginning, God. If my friends say, you know, but this, but that, no, 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 no. In my beginning right now, God. And if our brothers and sisters who are in discouragement in the church, one another say, no, 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 but you don't understand. You don't understand my situation. You don't understand the hopelessness. You don't understand. It's impossible. Brothers and sisters, gently encourage them as well. Speak into their life. No. In your beginning, God. You know, brother, sister, before you were born, God. God fearfully, wonderfully made you. He formed you. He understands. He knows. He can create something out of nothing. In the beginning, God. So in whatever situation in our church, whatever impossible thing, whatever other voices say, no, 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 in this situation, no, 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 no. In my beginning, God. So brothers and sisters, you know, Salt and Light means we want 2026 to be a year of transformation. No longer the old things, no longer the old confessions, no longer that old world or that old reality that we once knew. We want to step into this new reality. We want to begin. Would you choose this year in everything that we do, everything that we say, we will begin with God, we will trust God at His word, and we will obey God. And let us believe in the beginning, in our beginning, God. We want to believe God. We want to see transformation together with God. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks for the truth, what is real, that you are God. And Lord, we determine, we made our pledge today as a church, a covenant to one another. Lord, we determine to take you at your word, because your word is perfect and all your promises are good, and all the your laws and your commands are sure and steadfast. Lord, you are faithful, you have spoken, and it was perfect, and it was good, and it's for our best. And so, Lord, as a church, as Christians, as your disciples, as wanting to be salt and light this year, 2026, we want to say, we want to cut off. It's no longer a year of the past, of any other reality, any other world that we've known before, Lord. We want to step into this year. We want to step into this reality with you. The reality that begins with God and ends with God. We want to be transformed for your name and your glory. We ask and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor, for the message. Let's take a few moments of silence to reflect upon. And it's also a time for offering for God's people to give financially for God's kingdom purpose. So over the screens are the QR code. Let's rise to sing the doxology.
God from whom all blessings flow, praise Him, all creatures here below, praise Him above, He heavenly host, praise Father, Son, and Holy
Please be seated. Let's stand for the closing song. We are God's people. Pastor Leon to share with us the announcement.
Okay, so one announcement before I hand over to Paul Chung, who's going to tell us about the Blessing Walk today and Chinese New Year activities. First of all, is that big news, the registration for camp is open now. The forms are behind by the whiteboard. So, you know, do grab your form and do start signing up already. You know, then for any inquiries at the moment, you can go and look for Sue about any inquiries to the registration. But yes, you can start signing up for camp already. So now I'll just hand over to Paul Chung, who's going to share with us a little bit about what's going to happen today for the Blessing Walk and for Lunar New Year. Woo, yay!
Afternoon, church. So we'll be doing a community blessing, Com Bless for short. Yeah. So there will be groupings announced later. Okay. There'll be three blocks that we are going to. All right. And there's going to be a distribution of people. And there'll be under each block, there'll be a person holding on to all the oranges that's going to be distributed. So you don't have to carry all the oranges to each floor. Right. These are the bags that we're going to have. Two different design, doesn't matter which one you get, right? So inside these bags are two oranges and a tiny little paper with our church address, right? And all our love inside. So now the rule of thumb here is this: we will go to the doors, we'll knock. Okay, if there's somebody there, there'll be a conversation. Hi, how are you? You know you're coming, we're here to bless you with oranges, etc. And we give them the thing. Now, if nobody is home, do not leave the oranges hanging there. Do, however, give them the flyer for the event which we are hosting on February 8th. Okay. So each group will have a stack of flyer and these bags. Right? Clear?
Yes.
Right. Any questions? Yes.
So oranges only for open doors, flyers for all?
Yes, flyers for all. If they're not bad, just drop a flyer. If they're home, give them the oranges and the flyer. All right? Okay, any other questions? All right, thank you. Sorry? Will be announced. Well, we will post aside. During lunch, you know, you'll just see which group. Right, thank you. Yes. Next week. Oh, yes. Next week event is a Lunar New Year cultural experience. All right. So we have, if you look at the flyer, we have three or four stations or events that you can do. All right. Yes. Three stations. Right. So I invite your family and friends. All right. The details, any other details, you just come to my team and myself to ask. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. Excellent, excellent. Yes. So next week also. Yeah. So next week, again, before the cultural experience also, there'll be lunch for us. So, you know, you can have your lunch quickly. So then after that, we can set up and for the event and for the guests. Yeah. So continue to invite your friends. I think there's still slots, right? Yeah. Okay. So church, shall we rise together and then we'll give thanks for our lunch that we're going to have. Then we'll set up the tables. So leaders, just we'll meet for 5 minutes before lunch. Okay. All right. Right, church, let's rise for prayer. Father, we give you thanks today for your word, for this time of worship together and dedication to you once again. Lord, we give you thanks that you are working in our midst. And now, Father, we give you thanks for the blessings of this place and that we can share fellowship and food together. May you bless our time together. May you bond us close to one another. And may you strengthen us for the work that we want to do this afternoon as well. We give you thanks. And now, church, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. May the Lord turn his face towards you and be gracious to you all through the week until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.